AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
When you think boots, you think Ariat. You think comfort from day one and durability to day 1,000. You think steel toes on the job, square toes on the dance floor, with style that owns a Saturday night and still looks sharp enough for Sunday dinner. And through every mile and every moment, you're thinking Ariat boots. Boots that show up, stand out, turn bad ideas into better stories, and still punch the clock come Monday morning. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find your Ariat boots at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.
Let's roll. This is Sports Rage. I am Gable Berenzi. The pitch, the players, the hustlers, the podcasters, the people, the bustlers, and everybody else in between. Let's do this thing. It's the Wicked Wednesday edition of the podcast. Countdown to kickoff is on Thursday night football, Friday night football, Saturday football, Sunday football, Monday football. Tuesdays and Wednesdays are the only non-football days, and that'll change in about a month and a half or so. We'll start to get Tuesday and Wednesday college football games, but of course the National Hockey League regular season is around the corner. NBA training camps set to open. Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball, we've really been focused in on football for the last, like, you know, couple of weeks. Obviously, we've been betting and watching baseball games still, but for the most part, let's be real, football is taking center stage, but we've got some real battles going on right now. And just quickly to get people caught up to date with the odds, if you guys remember a couple of weeks ago, I talked about the San Francisco Giants, and I said, you know, the Giants are like plus 850, plus 900 to make the playoffs, and they're more than capable of going on a run. And all it takes in baseball, if you have a good 2 weeks, you can, like, flip the script of the standings. Like, seriously, you go 9-1 in 10 games, and suddenly you're in a whole different spot than you were a week ago or a week and a half ago in baseball, because there's just so much parity, right? Everybody is just kind of the same. Everybody has the same record. So if you could just sort of get hot, you can put yourself in a favorable position. And don't look now, but San Francisco are only 2 games back of the New York Mets, and the Mets are falling apart right now, guys. And it's not that I'm sitting here telling, oh, I think San Francisco are amazing, but I think they're better than the Mets are right now. And the Mets are the ones with all the pressure. Like, San Francisco has pressure to win from their fan base, but not in the same way that the Mets are under the national spotlight in the middle of a collapse. And the fact is, the Mets have been one of the worst teams in baseball over the last month or so. So the San Francisco Giants are now plus 550 to make the playoffs. Not the, you know, the fat odds that we talked about a couple of weeks ago, but still. And if you look at the Giants' schedule, guys, they have a very favorable schedule, and I don't like taking any games for granted, but San Francisco are good at beating bad teams. That's why they are where they are right now. So the San Francisco Giants are smoking hot. Texas Rangers are all the way down to plus 210 right now to make the playoffs. And this is interesting, too, because you can bet the Mets to make the playoffs, yes, minus 425, but you could say no at plus 310. And I'm almost ready to say no, that the New York Mets aren't going to make the playoffs. But I think San Francisco are going to be the ones to knock them off the pedestal, and you're getting plus 550 as opposed to plus 310. So baseball is fun. Yankees, Red Sox, and Blue Jays are battling it out in the American League East. We're going to have a fun couple of weeks. WNBA playoffs start this weekend. We cashed both our plays last night in the WNBA, so we're fired up for the start of the WNBA playoffs. And, of course, we got Thursday night football with the Washington Commanders and the Green Bay Packers. Babano in the house. Ian Cameron, Cam Stewart in the house. Babano, you ready for Thursday night football, the Commanders and the Packers?
I am, obviously, because the Packers were impressive. I don't know if the Commanders were as impressive. I think the Giants were pretty bad, but you can't deny they're both 1-0. They're both teams we think could make noise in the NFC this year. It's a great matchup for Thursday night.
Sitting at 3.5 right now, Cam, who are you leaning with right now for Thursday's football game, the Green Bay Packers or the Washington Commanders?
Hey, Gabe, I think we're on the same side. I already pulled the trigger at 4. I'd still take it at 3.5. I like Washington. I'm also going to sprinkle on the money line. I think they can win this game. I know a lot of people are talking that was a sloppy performance versus the Giants, but watching every play from that game, a lot of small things happened too. The relationship between Terry McLaurin and Daniels, you know, he held out of camp and they were just a little bit off in that game, but the defense got to Russell Wilson and the Giants. They put a lot of pressure on. They're better than thing. And Jaden Daniels, the thing I love about him is extending the sticks on third down. Every time they were in a third down, he takes it upon himself with his legs. I would look at the rushing yards over Morency. I'm on Washington in this game. I think if Green Bay wins, it's going to be a squeaker, maybe on a last second field goal. I'll definitely, that hook could be very important at 3.5.
The Commanders played the New York Giants in week one, so it wasn't going to be, they weren't going to get credit for the win, right? And you play the New York Giants, it wasn't going to be a glamorous, fun football game. And people sort of kind of dismissed the Commanders in that, oh, the Commanders, you know, were okay only against the New York Giants. But the Washington Commanders did what they wanted to do in that game. And similar to college teams, they didn't have to show very much in that game. Like, Jaden Daniels never was really challenged. He never really had to make a big play for them. And the Washington Commanders rushed for 220 yards in that football game. Now, this is the key number coming into this game, guys, against the Green Bay Packers. The Washington Commanders are 13-2. They were 13-2 last year when they rushed for 100 or more yards. That's amazing. 13-2 when they rushed for 100 or more yards. They were 1-4 when they were held to under 100 yards rushing. So the question is, are they going to be able to get 100 yards rushing on the Green Bay Packers? That won't be easy, man. You got Rashawn Gary. You got Micah Parsons on the defensive line now. It makes everybody else around them better. It makes the linebackers better. But I do think Washington are a live dog in this game. You know, that hook at 3.5. Green Bay were super impressive against Detroit, but it's a week-to-week league, Babano. If you bet what happened last week in the NFL, you'll end up getting killed in the long run. It's what's going to happen, what's not already happened. But Green Bay did look super impressive. This is a big-time game. And it's interesting, you have, although I don't really think it matters, but you have a short week game here, and it's early in the season, but just for the record, the Green Bay Packers are the youngest team in the National Football League. Their average age is 24.8 years old. The oldest team in the National Football League, they don't really seem that old or feel that old, but the Washington Commanders.
Wow, I would have never guessed that.
The Washington Commanders are the oldest team in the National Football League. Their average age of their starters, I should say the starters, is 27 years old, nearly 277 days older than the next highest oldest team, which is the Pittsburgh Steelers. See, the Steelers kind of make sense. You know, DK Metcalf's not young. Aaron Rodgers has been around a long time. Like, the Steelers do, you know, they just brought in Jalen Ramsey like they do. They do have, like, a lot of dudes that have been around the Steelers, but they're not the oldest team. For the record, the youngest offense in the NFL is the Jacksonville Jaguars. It's interesting when you see the age, but, okay, it's early in the season, and I don't really think 27 years old is that old. So 24 years old, 27 years old, I don't really care. But, Babano, what's your pick going to be for Thursday night?
Yeah, it's a very fascinating game. I 3.5, I'm with you guys. I like Washington a little bit. And after me saying that they weren't that impressive against the Giants, but the Giants should have a good defensive line. And that's really what kept them in the game against Washington. Washington struggled to move the football. It was only in the fourth quarter till they put it away. Green Bay was as impressive as it gets, but we have to factor in the issues that the opponent had going into that game, Detroit. New coordinators, an interior of the offensive line that was down. Obviously, Frank Ragnow retired in the offseason. There were a lot of concerns about the interior of that offensive line for Detroit, and those concerns showed up. Like, there was no push from the middle. The run game struggled. Green Bay was able to take advantage of that. I think when you look at just the way the table is set offensively for the Commanders with their own offensive line, and let's be honest, when you can't run the football, if you're Detroit, Jared Goff becomes a sitting duck. Now, if you're Green Bay's defense, yeah, if you stop the run, okay. But now you got to worry about the mobility and the athleticism of Jaden Daniels at the quarterback spot.
So, guys, that loss of Ragnow is huge. Yeah. He's been one of the best offensive linemen in the league for years. And
he got whipped in the trenches.
That's what I'm saying. And Goff can't move, Gabe. That's a big problem. These other quarterbacks like Daniels, you can over-pursue, and he could be gone. Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, and so forth. But Ragnow is a great player, and he's been a consistent, like, one of the best linemen in the league. That's Detroit's going to have to patch that up.
It was a perfect storm, like you said, Babano.
Yeah.
Going into Green Bay, it was just sort of a perfect storm for the Packers and them getting Parsons and them losing a lot to Detroit in the past. As you stated in the first game, without Ben Johnson and Aaron Glenn, Detroit just seemed a little bit discombobulated. I think Detroit will be fine moving forward. The problem for Detroit is everyone talked about Ben Johnson, but with Jared Goff, when he's not under pressure, like when Jared Goff has a clean pocket, his QBR rating is literally like number one in the NFL, number two type of deal. Like, he's top tier when he has protection. If you blitz the crap out of Jared Goff and he's under pressure, suddenly he turns into the 28th best quarterback in the NFL. Like, it really is. There's a drastic difference when you can get pressure on Jared Goff. And
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
You know, Jaden Daniels isn't Jared Goff, right? So they're not just going to be able to funnel everything into the middle of the pocket. And
I think Jaden Daniels over rushing yards is a heck of a prop in this game. I will definitely be on that.
You know that they're not going to want him to do that, right? They don't like him running, but you got to believe at some point he's going to have to, Babano, you know, that he's going to have to take off. The question is, well, what's the passing attack going to be like for them? But let's not overreact either. Green Bay are good. They're not running away with the Super Bowl or anything like that. And Jaden Daniels' rush yard prop is 46.5. So you got to get to 47 yards. That's higher than running
rush attempts as well, just in case the production's not as high as it is, but he gets those carries. So the rush attempts, you could go that road as well. But I think he will be more active with his legs in this game. Remember, he didn't have to do it all that much with the Giants. They had a big lead most of that game. This is going to be close. This is a good Green Bay defensive front. So whether it's rush attempts or rushing yards with Daniels, I don't mind looking at either for a prop on this game.
All right, but Battle says Jaden Daniels. I wish the total was lighter. 48. Like, it's ambitious at 48, as we
I'd
saw.
I'd honestly lean with a Washington +9.5 tease to the under, actually, at 54. I think 54 would be a high number to eclipse on a short week on a Thursday night game.
Yeah, Thursday night games generally do stay under. But the thing is, it's early in the season. Right. So fatigue isn't a factor. Like, when you're playing a Thursday night game two and a half months in, it sucks a lot more than doing it like.
Right.
And in fact, I bet you a bunch of them are happy. Yeah, let's play. I'm ready to play. Let's play again. Right. Like, you don't think you told J.J. McCarthy he was playing in 3 days again, he would have taken it. Like, he'd be like, oh, yeah, sure, I'll play in 3-4 days again. So I think they're chomping at the bit early in the season. And also the Thursday night trend to the under is often division games, right? You often have divisional matchups on these Thursday night games. And, you know, division teams already know each other to begin with. That's another thing, too, with, like, Green Bay and Detroit. Like, sometimes you got to throw out divisional matchups in a sense. So they know each other so well. Coaches are sitting on something that, oh, you know what? They got us the last couple of times, but they don't know I'm about to do this to them this time, right? Like, so it's always an intriguing matchup. So this is, you know, non-division matchup, but, you know, a football game that could matter down the year, down the line, as far as tiebreakers are concerned, because they're both going to be, you know, playoff contenders, these teams. There's a Thursday night college football game this week. Last week, they took the week off with the start of the NFL. This week, they're not. NC State and Wake Forest. You look at this football game, NC State are laying 7 on the road. Feels a little ambitious there, but the total is 52. And there really is no reason why there's not going to be some points put up on the board in this football game. I'm taking the over, Babano, of NC State and Wake Forest.
Yeah, I'm a little bit surprised the totals come down. I don't see any major weather concerns for Winston-Salem, North Kakalaki there on Thursday night. I think both offenses can move. Here's the thing with NC State. I like their offense. C.J. Bailey and company have looked really good. They've run the ball well. He can throw it. He had a great game in the comeback against Virginia. I still do have concerns with their defense. Virginia was able to move the football quite well up and down, trade points with them last week. The key with Wake Forest offense, when they can't run the football, they can't move the football because Robbie Ashford's just not a great passer. He never has been going back to Auburn. But if they can run the football effectively, that's when Wake Forest can have success. And I think they should be able to do that. Jamari Taylor, the running back for Virginia, he gashed the NC State's defense last week in that game. So I do have concerns about the NC State run defense. So I expect Wake to be able to have success running the football. And because of that, I think Wake will move the chains. And I think Wake can stay within a score. So I like the home dog here, Wake Forest, +7, 7.5. And I'm with you. I don't really understand why there's so much love for the under in this game.
Yeah, it's hard to trust NC State. NC State are one of those teams that are hard to trust in any circumstance, to be honest with you. I don't mind them when they're getting
especially
yeah. when they're getting points, but to ask them to lay points on the road and lay 7 on the road, that is like you're asking a lot. But Wake Forest are one of these teams, you don't know who, you know, which Wake is going to show up. Right. They scored 10 points in week one. You know, they were lucky they beat Kennesaw State. They won 10-9 against Kennesaw State. Last week was a little bit more comfortable. They won 42-10, but it was against Western Carolina. So and the other thing is, too, NC State gave up 31 points, but Virginia's offense is good. So that was actually a pretty impressive win. Last week for them in a conference matchup that did not count in the conference standings. Cam, what's your pick Thursday night football?
Reza Crowd. I'm getting on FanDuel. Gabe, you get that hook at 7.5. The juice is a little bit high at 20 cents, but I'm fine with that. And I like the over as well. I think this got like 35, 31 kind of written all over it there. I'm to Babano's point, your point, I'm shocked. Like, I don't know who's betting under. That's kind of weird. And I like to be contrarian sometimes, but I don't know, man. These teams can put points up on the board, and I think that hook's good. So give me Wake Forest and the over. All of us on the same kind of page.
Well, NC State could put points on the board, but Wake Forest struggle. That's why the number is what it is. So I like the over too, guys, but I don't think it's going to get into the 60s or it's going to be a track meet or anything like that. But it's 51.5 now in some spots, which that's more than manageable for a college game. Wake Forest as well. Going back to last year, Wake Forest are 8-2 to the under in their last 10 games. Their offense just isn't that good. Let's just call it out for what it is. I mean, they scored 10 points against Kennesaw. They got it dialed up last week, 42. But last year, 17 against Duke, 14 against Miami, 24 against North Carolina. Like, 24 is kind of their
You're selling me on the under now, Gabe, with these statistics.
Well, no, I'm just saying, like, NC State should get, like, I think it's, it'll creep right over. It'll be like 30-23 or something like that. I think it'll barely get there, but far from, the lock of the century or anything like that, but it is the one Thursday night game. Friday, though, we've got some interesting games. There's a bunch of games on Friday night, including Colorado at Houston. The Houston Cougars, 2-0 to start the season. And speaking of totals, this number is extremely low. And you don't think of, when you think of the Houston Cougars, you don't really think of defense, but the Cougars are trying to change their identity. And they held the Houston Cougars defense has been rock solid to start the season. They shut out Stephen F. Austin, and they held Rice to 9. So Houston through two games have outscored their opponents 62-9. Very impressive start for the Houston Cougars. Meanwhile, let's give credit where credit's due. Colorado were actually in that game against Georgia Tech. Haynes King had a late touchdown, and they lost 27-20. And Nice bounce back win for them last week against Delaware. Now they go on the road, though, Babano. Initial glance, I thought the point spread was too light. But, you know, this should be a competitive game. What are your thoughts on Colorado? Do you like this game at all? Are you betting this game? Colorado and Houston.
I'm a big fan of Willie Fritz. I think he's going to get Houston turned around. I've loved what I've seen from their defense. And Connor Wegman is a guy that was really, really expected to do great things at Texas A&M when they brought him in. And obviously he kind of struggled. He had the injuries. And now he's here at Houston. I still think he could be pretty solid, serviceable at quarterback. And you pair that with that defense. You know, this could end up being a team that surprises people in the Big 12 later this season. Now, I'm kind of leery about laying six because their defense is good. Their offense is still a bit of a work in progress, but I have no idea what to expect from Colorado at quarterback. Ryan Staub, a very surprising announcement by Deion Sanders that he's going to start. This guy wasn't even on the radar for Colorado in spring camp or August camp. The battle all along to be the starting quarterback was between Caden Salter, the Liberty transfer, and Julian Juju Lewis, the freshman. Like, nobody was talking about Ryan Staub. And now all of a sudden, he's the starting quarterback here for Colorado in this game over Lewis and Salter. So we'll see how
you got to give Deion credit. Well, we'll see how it works out, but you've got to give Deion credit in that.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
He will play the best guy, right? Like, as you stated, you bring in Caden Salter. They paid Caden Salter, too. So Caden Salter's making money. Yeah. The Lewis kid, they flipped him from USC. He was going to go to USC. He's one of the top recruits in the country. And they got him to go to Colorado. They clearly paid him as well. So Colorado, their boosters are paying two star quarterbacks. And Deion goes with, like, the four-string basic walk-on.
was sitting behind Shadur all those years. Yeah.
Yeah. And he's like, you know what? I'm going to go with this guy. And Deion was asked about his decision-making process. And he said, I know more than you guys know. I know who's prepared. I know what happens at practice. And I'll make the decision based off not just what happens in games. And the decision has been made. It could change, Babano, but you know, we all know, dude, it's a lot different coming in the second half against Delaware at home than going on the road on a Friday night against Houston.
Yeah, absolutely. No doubt. And this is what's just surprising. I'm not saying he's made the wrong decision. We're going to find that out Friday night against a pretty good defense on the road. But I'm just saying this guy was clearly QB3 on the depth chart. He was Salter and Lewis. And here he is starting over both of them.
You see this quite often in college. Coaches really will go with the guy that they think can win. It's more pro football. It's ironic. It's more pro football that you get stuck with a guy because you're paying him. And whether the coach likes him or not, like, he's got to play. So point spread's up to 5.5. Colorado are 2-0 to the under on the season as well. So, like, they're not lighting it up offensively either. Cam, any thoughts on Colorado and Houston?
Yeah, I like the under. I think I know it's a low total, but I think Houston's defense will nullify Colorado. I see a lot of punts in this game. Lean to Houston with the side at -5.5, maybe winning by a touchdown, Gabe, but I see a very, very low scoring, dirty game, like 23, 14, 16 type of game here. I think it stays under. It's hard to bet an under with a college total that low, but I don't trust Colorado. Good point by you. They haven't put up points and they're playing a very improved Houston defense as well. So I like the Cougars on the side and I will be betting the under.
I want to bet the over because the total is just so damn light. I'm like, wow. I couldn't believe what I saw. I thought I was like, it was a mistake. I was like, am I looking at the wrong game here? 44. I know it's gone up a little bit, but you know, as we talk about, you bet the highest overs over and the lowest unders under in college football, and you will win. So I don't want to tempt fate, but I do lean with the over of that game. Friday night, we have arguably the most disappointing team in the country in action. And Kansas State, So, and listen, I didn't think Kansas State were all that coming into the year, right? I was on Iowa State plus the 3.5 in the first game. And then I didn't make much of the 38-35 win against North Dakota after, right? It was like, all right, they just came back from Ireland. What do you want from them? Like, and the thing is, these lower tier teams are better than they used to be. So the blowouts don't happen like they used to. Right? Some teams, like, will kill the other team, like Ohio State Grambling or something. But these games are tougher now, so I didn't really hold it against them. But then K-State lose to Army. And this is not a good Army team. We're talking about an Army team that lost to Tarleton State a couple of weeks ago. And it's just, the fact of the matter is Avery Johnson's not that good. Like, he's okay. People got excited about him a couple of years ago. You know why? Because he's a goofy-looking kid. He has the hair and stuff. I mean, it was comical that anyone ever thought he was like a Heisman contender or anything like that. Like, it's just, it is what it is. He's a fun player, but it's, almost Caleb Williams. Like he's gone. He hasn't gotten better. He was at his best when he came in just out of nowhere, like 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago, because he wasn't very good last year either. This is a massive game for Kansas State. Like, they've got to stop the bleeding in a big time way. Otherwise, this season is just going to be a disaster. And it already kind of is on the verge of disaster right now. They're 1-2, staring at a 1-3. It could be lights out for them. Cam, what's your pick? Kansas State at Arizona.
Yeah, I thought Kansas State would be better. But I'm going to tell you this, Gabe, I'm done. You talked about it. You lose to Army, Tarleton State. You know what the thing is, too? That even if the first game, like, there was fumbles in that game, it was sloppy in Ireland. They just haven't looked sharp at all. And you're right. I've been a big fan of the quarterback, but he hasn't improved, and the offensive line is not as good as it was. This is a huge game, but they already kind of look defeated. Like, that's the thing. You barely win against North Dakota, and then you lose to Army outright. You've already lost two games. You lost to Iowa State in conference. I like Arizona in this spot. Give me the 1.5 home dog, and there should be points.
All the negativity about Kansas State, they could stop the bleeding with a conference win. Because they are behind the eight ball. That Iowa State game, it's a bitch when you open up in conference play, but they did. So they already lost that game. The Army game, it sucks they lost, but it's not a conference game. So it's sort of like Michigan. Yeah, I'm not happy we lost Oklahoma, but it really doesn't affect anything in the big picture for Michigan. They still control their own destiny. But Bano, do you trust K-State to bounce back in an absolutely positively have-to-win football game?
I don't. I would only look at Arizona, and I'm in agreement with Cam. The over does appeal to me. Now, Dylan Edwards might come back, the great running back for Kansas State, and that's Joe huge. Jackson and the others, they've struggled to run the ball. He is the best back they've got, and the one caveat to all this love for Arizona is they really struggled to stop the run defensively last year. They got torched on the ground, and they really have not faced anybody. Weber State or Hawaii are their first two opponents. They're going to run the football and commit to it like Kansas State will. So I am a little bit concerned about that, especially if Edwards comes back. But I think there's issues with Kansas State. Look, when you get out, when you're basically dominated double in time of possession by Army, you can't get off the field on third down. You're basically dominated in the trenches in the second half last week by an Army team that is rebuilding from the great squad they had last year. You've got serious problems. And until I see that fixed, yeah, it's Arizona. And I think we will see points because I do think Edwards comes back, Kansas State can run the football a bit. And I think Arizona can torch the secondary. I remember we were talking about K-State, Iowa State, the first game right here on this podcast. And we said the secondary for Kansas State was one of the bigger concerns we had. And even without Teteroa McMillan, Noah Fifita looks like he's slinging it. And that passing game still looks very good. So I think it'll go over the total.
Yeah, he's similar to Avery Johnson in the sense, guys, that the Fifita guy. 2 years ago when he came on the scene, it was like, oh my God, this kid's like Heisman Trophy type stuff. Like, look at the numbers he's putting up. He just sort of, he had that it factor. Like, maybe this kid can make it to the NFL. And, he's small though. You know what I mean? But so is Kyler Murray. He just, thing is, these kids, they come on the scene. It's different when you become the starter and you don't have the same talent around you. Like, stuff changes. You got paid, you got attitude. So he was okay last year. Brendan struggled as well. Guys, my gut tells me K-State they should be much better than Arizona. Like, K-State should win this game. I know they've had a disastrous start to the season, and I've never really trusted K-State all that much. I like them at home in bad weather type of games like everybody else, but I don't think like they're like overall some great program or great team. But I think with their season on the line, the physicality, like you said, Babano, this isn't Hawaii or Weber State. Like, I think Arizona will be able to move the ball on K-State, but I think K-State should be able to, like, punish Arizona when they have the ball. So I like the over here, but my gut is telling me that K-State win the football game. Another massive disappointing team to start the season, the UCLA Bruins. So UCLA Bruins, they spent a lot of money in the offseason. They were, you know, they were competitive last year, but they had a schedule from hell, and their schedule has been brutal. So if there's any excuse or you want to give any sort of pass to Deshaun Foster and UCLA, you can say, listen, they played the Utah Utes, and they went to UNLV. UNLV are 3-0 right now. I don't think UNLV are that good in reality, but they are 3-0. And it was a 30-23 game. So if you look at UCLA, guys, they played two games. 53 points exact, Babano and Cam in both their games. 43-10 against Utah, 30-23 against UNLV. Now they're 15.5-point favorites against New Mexico, who we saw hang with Michigan. And throw out last week's New Mexico game, because New Mexico are going to be different against these big-time programs. And I tell you what, this coach can coach, man. The guy in New Mexico, he was the coach of Idaho before. And Idaho played Oregon last year, and it was 24-14. And Dan Lanning said after, yeah, give them credit. They're a really well-coached team. They bottled us up. New Mexico, they were getting 34 against Michigan with the new coach. They lost by 17. This guy knows how to keep like powerhouses in front of him. And he's also known this guy for being able to confuse quarterbacks. And now you got Nico in here. I'll throw it to you first, Babano. I think UCLA are going to win the game. They got to win the game. They're going to win the game. There's no way in hell I would lay 16 points with this UCLA Bruin team right now.
Yeah, I'm with you. This is I don't know if I'll bet New Mexico, but I'm kind of leaning that way. Look, they did cover against Michigan, and that Jack Lane, the quarterback for New Mexico, you know, he did have move at the ball for 208 passing yards at Michigan, 31 completions. Now, the interceptions got him in trouble. He had three picks against Michigan. That was the issue.
They're competitive, New Mexico. This isn't the same old Sheriff Lobo two-win team. They lost their coach, and they lost their quarterback, Dampier, but all you need to know is look how good Dampier is. Right. That was their quarterback last year. So like they're building a program there. Like they're not as bad as they used to be. I'm not saying they're good, but like they could make a bowl game good type of deal. Like I see New Mexico as like a 6-6 type of team. Once New Mexico start playing like teams they can beat, they're going to beat them.
Yeah, Jason Eck was a good hire. Jason Eck had a lot of success in the FCS ranks with Idaho. Now, defensively, New Mexico still has issues. They were wretched defense last year. I don't think they're still that great. So this should be an opening for Nico Iamaliava to get the offense rolling here a little bit for UCLA in this game. So this is one where totals wise, I think I like the over more than I like New Mexico, but there's no doubt I would take these points before laying it with UCLA.
I do agree with the total a lot. I like the over. Like I said, then they made it 53.5 in this game, and both UCLA games have gotten to 53. And Utah are a bitch to deal with. Utah really are one of the better teams in the country. UNLV aren't bad either. So I would have liked to seen them score more than 23 against that kind of soft UNLV defense. But I do think that this is the week that UCLA's offense breaks out a bit, right? Like I think they're going to get into the 30s type of deal. But, and like I said, it doesn't mean I don't think that New Mexico could put points up on the board. To me, the best bet of the game is the over, but I do lean with the New Mexico Lobos. Those are the Friday night games. Then into Saturday, you've got me and Cam are going to be on at noon on Saturday. There's actually some interesting games at noon. There's a bunch of them. Clemson and Georgia Tech, Cam. Clemson are 3.5-point road favorites at Georgia Tech. another critical game, season on the line for the Clemson Tiger game.
Gabe, I got to tell you, too, we're getting line value because that game with Troy was scary. Like, you know, Cameron, too, Drew, he's like a Clemson fan. The guy's is Troy going to win? Clemson came back and took care of business. But let's think about this. The LSU game where LSU had a touchdown taken back and look at it, and Troy was beating these guys down. But now you're getting Clemson on the road. I get it. Georgia Tech and Haynes King are good, but it's 3.5 for Clemson. That's a reasonable number. I'm going to look at the Tigers in a bounce back spot. I think Dabo Swinney will have them ready to play.
Listen, I was a big Clemson guy. Last year I said they were going to make the playoffs. This year I said I think they can win a national championship. I've just got to give up my Clemson take. Like, yeah, I mean, they're not who I thought they were. And it doesn't mean I don't think they can win this game, but they're not like top tier. Like, they're just, It just is what it is with this team. I'm a big Georgia Tech fan, but Babano, Clemson have absolutely owned Georgia Tech. And as Cam stated, you're getting it's a short number right now for a team that many did believe that were national championship contenders. And, you know, you don't want to overreact if they lost to LSU, but it was a super unimpressive win against Troy. But it's hard to overlook the fact that Georgia Tech have not beaten Clemson since 2014, Babano.
Oh, that's an understatement, that Troy performance. They were horrific in the first half. Horrendous. Goose Crowder's going up and down the field, Troy offensively against them. Cade Klubnik throws a pick six right by his own goal line. They were booing at Death Valley.
I got to tell you, if they didn't have that delay, too. Half. That delay helped them also because it slowed things down for them. Troy was starting to fly around a bit, but Clemson were going to win anyways. They were never going to cover the number, but they, you know, listen, it's early in the season yet. Clemson, like, it's one of those, you know, they're just one of these teams that a lot of people always think they're going to be great and they're not. Right. And I'm right at the front of the crowd, man. Every year, oh yeah, Clemson are back. You're going to see Clemson. And I don't know if it's a Dabo thing, why they can't beat SEC teams. Like, they don't win big games, but this isn't a big game. It's a big game, blah, blah. But you know what I mean, Babano? It's not a big game. It's not an LSU season opener game. It's against a conference opponent that you've absolutely owned and crushed as well. Yeah. Like 42-21, 41-10. There was a 14-8 game in there. Hell, they beat a man in 2020, 73-7, 52-14. 49-21. Yep. Like, Georgia Tech have been Clemson's pinata. But you know Haynes King and Georgia Tech want this one bad.
Badly. They do. They absolutely do. Clemson, now, two truths. Yes, Clemson's you're getting a discount. Clemson has owned Georgia Tech. But I'll throw it right back that Georgia Tech hasn't been, not good, great as an underdog under Brent Key. They've been absolutely spectacular ATS in this kind of a point spread role. And I actually give them credit against Colorado, their first game. Yeah, you'll see 27-20. They, you know, it was a close game. They pulled out the win. They were -3 turnovers. They turned the ball over a ton, and they overcame that to beat Colorado on the road. I give them credit. I give them an upgrade a little bit for being able
to
do that.
It's not easy to open up the season, like, on the road in Boulder on a Friday night.
And turn it over three times, be -3 in the turnover category, turnover margin, and overcome it and still win on the road. That's impressive.
You know what, though? Thinking about that game, you know, and sort of back to the Houston-Colorado game, Colorado's defense has gotten better for real. Because I remember I liked the over, not Georgia Tech game, and they started to get better last year, but that is one thing that we got to tip our cap to. Like, you know, Dion's got a team there. Like, Colorado are better than I sort of thought. Colorado were going to be terrible and, like, it'll blow up on them and stuff. But, no, like, their defense is pretty good. They did a good job. Like Babano, you know, said, they brought in these big recruit quarterbacks, but it's the backup that ends up getting the job right now. But give credit to them. Man, that's a tricky game, Clemson.
There's another game Georgia that Tech. Is just like this Clemson game where it's been all, you know, it feels like you're getting a discount on Georgia. And that's the one I like.
Yeah,
that's the discount I like. I'm not buying Joey Aguilar just yet. I know he played great against Syracuse. They played a FCS team last week. Let's see what he does against Georgia, because Georgia's defensive front is going to harass him like no team they've played. Certainly not Syracuse, certainly not who they played last week. And Joey Aguilar at App State last year, he didn't have a good year. When they pressured him, he made mistakes. And I worry the old Joey Aguilar comes back in that game against Georgia. Not to mention Tennessee's got some injuries in the secondary going into that game that maybe Gunnar Stockton is able to take advantage of. And Georgia has, you talk about pinatas, Clemson treating Georgia Tech like one? How about what Georgia's done to Tennessee over the years? None of these games have even been close. Kirby Smart versus Josh Heupel. So I think it's a discount with Georgia. I like them there.
And in fact, Tennessee have not beaten Georgia since 2016. Every one of the games has been double digits. Like, I think I'm looking here. I think 14 was their close one, actually. Like,
yeah.
Well, look, they lost 31-17 last year, 38-10, 27-13, 41-17, 44-21, 43-14, 38-12, 41-0. And I get it. Like, people say, oh, what is it? Different teams, a different this. Yeah, but in college, it's sort of like the rivalries and the programs and history repeats itself often. And, yeah, it's been different players and the same result all the time. And you've had better Tennessee teams that could have beat Georgia. And I'm with you, Babano. You know, this is a big step up in class. You're not at App State right now. You're not playing Syracuse. You're not, you know, you don't have a cupcake here. I see, though, a lot of so-called sharps like Tennessee in this game as a home dog, but nobody gets rich getting in front of the Georgia Bulldogs. I'll tell you that. All right, Babano, I know Babano, Babano in the house, Cam Stewart in the house. We got CFL football as well. Me and Cam will get back to we can get back to the college tomorrow and on Friday with our best bets. But that Georgia game in Tennessee is a 3:30 Eastern game. We got Pittsburgh and West Virginia, Cam. That's always an annual
backyard brawl
battle.
Yeah.
Pittsburgh are 7-point favorites at West Virginia.
I'll tell you, I want to take the dog, but you want to talk about a team that's been dog crap out of the gate, the West Virginia Mountaineers. These guys, they looked horrible against Ohio in a 17-10 loss. Like, you knew they were going to be bad guys, but it's like, what happened to this program here? But every time the backyard brawl pulls around, it's usually a very, very tight game. I will look at the points right now, but very unimpressed, Gabe and Babana, with the Mountaineers. Not a great start to their season.
And we'll wrap up with CFL. Football. So we got a doubleheader on Friday night, and we got a doubleheader on Saturday. So Friday night, 7 o'clock Eastern, Winnipeg Hamilton, 10 o'clock Eastern, Ottawa's in Vancouver to face the BC Lions in a rematch from last week's crazy game. Saturday at 3 Eastern in Toronto, Edmonton in Toronto, and then Saturday night, Montreal and the Rough Riders. So Babano, you'll be at the game on Friday night, and it looks like Chris Trevler will be the starting quarterback for the Winnipeg Blue Bombers, hence the line movement up to 7 right now, total 52.
I don't know if I'd want to lay, you know, with Hamilton -7. I get it. There's no Zach Collaros, and it could be a bit of a step down as far as the quarterback play is concerned, but you're still talking about a Hamilton team that I don't think they've covered as home favorites this year. They haven't. I know they haven't. So, you know, laying 7 is a little bit dicey for me. I'd lean Winnipeg, honestly, +7 in that game. Ottawa, BC, look, there's no chance, even in a revenge spot after that brutal loss last week, that I'm laying 8.5, 9 with that BC Lions defense right now, Civ defense. But what I can do is take the BC Lions team total over again, because that just keeps cashing. That's how you bet BC right now. Just trust Nathan Rourke and the offense to put up their 30-plus points, cash their team total over, and you don't have to sweat that horrendous defense. That's what I'll be doing.
I can't disagree. You're right. On a weekly basis, BC are scoring 30-plus. You know what's amazing, though? Their team total right now, my God, over 30.5 is -200.
Wow. That's nuts. That's crazy.
You got to go over 34.5. 34.5 is +110.
Oh, they could score 35. Sure, they can.
Yeah, they can.
Well, they
Especially
scored what? It was 34 last week? In that range.
Yeah.
It should, yeah, you know what? It should be sort of a, I'll just bet the over the game, but I do agree with the team total
part. What about
part.
The total guys over. In Hamilton, though, Gabe? With Strebler, a lot of running the ball. We know about his arm strength and things like that, bootlegs, keeping it himself. 51.5, 52 seems pretty low for a game, but I don't know, man. Winnipeg, they'll want to shorten this game against
they
Hamilton.
Will, Cam. There's no doubt about that. It's weird because I want to bet Winnipeg with Strebler under and Hamilton, especially at home with their defense, which can be come and go. I think of wanting to bet overs, so that's a tough total. I'll probably just pass on it.
I'll bet the over just because it won't take
of course you will.
It won't take very much to get there. You just need a punt return, kick return, whatever. You just need a couple of plays to get it going. And Strebler's okay. Strebler's hit or miss. He can be bad, but at times he's, you know, they get rid of the ball quickly, but obviously they're going to be running the ball. But just because you run the ball doesn't mean a game is going to automatically stay under. So I think that one can get there at 52. Ottawa and BC's 56.5. It's high. I like Babano's angle, but the team total is 34.5. There's no way in hell I would lay 9.5 points with the BC Lions either. Their season's like on the line here. They need to win the game. 7-point teaser, you get BC down to 2.5 and then over 49.5.
That's not bad.
Yeah. Edmonton and Toronto. So Chad Kelly is eligible to play, but he's not. So Arbuckle is going to be the guy here again. The Argos are 4-point favorites. They're back in the playoff picture right now. The total is 56.5. What do you think of that one, Babano?
Yeah, tricky one, because I like the way the Argos are going. Nick Arbuckle's playing great, but their defense is still shaky. They've still got injuries. Now, they're off a bye week, but, you know, Toronto's been dogs in a lot of these games, including when they beat Hamilton on Labor Day. Now you got to lay 4.5, 3.5, 4. I don't know if I want to do that. Their defense is still leaky. I kind of like Edmonton there a bit as a underdog coming off the nice win they had against Calgary. That's one I'd play over or nothing with. Toronto's still like an over or nothing team for me. The one I'm really eyeing is, I can't believe I'm saying this, but McLeod Bethel Thompson coming back might actually be an upgrade from what Montreal had before. I can't believe I'm saying that because I'm not a Bethel Thompson fan, but it sounds like he's back.
Clearly an upgrade on James Morgan.
Yes, James Morgan just not ready. Yes. Just not ready to play in the CFL, no. James Morgan. That has become clear. So I think Montreal getting 7.5, 8 at Saskatchewan. Remember, Saskatchewan went to Montreal and just destroyed them earlier this season. So a nice little redemption spot. I think Montreal gets at least a little bit of a boost from Bethel Thompson. It's not going to be Alexander. Alexander's still only practicing on a limited basis. So I think it will be MBT. I think plus the points, Montreal there. Saskatchewan's playing great, but you got to think, guys, you just beat Winnipeg back-to-back weeks, the Labor Day game, the Banjo Bowl. Now you're laying a big number. Is the focus going to be there? I think Montreal can hang around.
Yeah, I think the focus will be there. I could agree that Montreal can hang around, but like, do you really think they're like, oh, we beat Winnipeg, so we're cool right now? Like,
you know what I mean? No, they're trying to win first. They are, but they've got to win by margin now. And those were two monster wins for Saskatchewan, back-to-back against the Bombers.
Like, God, I just hate that stuff. The last night on In-Game Live, we had a guy on for covers. He really knows the WNBA a lot, but the L.A. Sparks – like needed to win and they needed Seattle to lose, right, for the playoff picture. And he said, oh yeah, LA will get killed tonight because they know down deep inside like Seattle's going to win and they're not going to make the playoffs.
Let me rephrase what I'm thinking. Like, are they going to be dialed in execution wise and just absolutely razor sharp?
Well, to your point, they're like, listen, that's Saskatchewan can murder these guys, but they played two rivalry games, took care of business in the game. Montreal gets a quarterback, bats is better. Saskatchewan wants to win by margin.
Has Riders Saskatchewan lost to anybody besides Calgary this year?
No, they've been amazing.
No.
So, like, they don't have letdowns, right? Calgary's the one team they'll beat. Plus, they hate Montreal just as a whole, right? They lost great cups to them. And, like, they, you know, the people in Saskatchewan don't like the Montreal Alouettes. So the crowd will be fired up. But I'm with you. I'll be on the 8 points. Cam, what are your picks for Saturday? Edmonton and Toronto and then Montreal and Saskatchewan.
We're reading each other's mail. First of all, I love the spot for the Elks. And I wish Chad Kelly was playing and actually the line went up. I would make it like a high unit play because he hasn't played any football. But Arbuckle's been good. I'd expect points in this game, too. I'll take Edmonton plus 3.5. And I will take with Babano. I'll take the Montreal Alouettes at plus 7.5 right now. I think Saskatchewan wins, but not as easy to cover that big spread.
I want to dig down deeper as the week goes on, but I actually think the Argos are the play. Like, I'm leaning with the Argos. Really? I'm just not in love with laying 4 points with a Toronto Argonaut team that every game turns into a track meet with. But this one's interesting just because of the dichotomy of the Edmonton Elks defense has actually gotten good. And Babano said one of the best bets in the CFL has been the team total with the BC Lions, and it has been. But another best bet in the CFL has just been passing yards over Nick Arbuckle. It's like 312, 316. He goes over every damn week. So I just wonder, is this the week? But I think the Argos are doing their usual thing.
Yeah. What the late season charge. That's what the Argos do. Yeah. I wish this game was later. Cause I'd go to this game. It's like Edmonton at Toronto with points galore. Like that's going to be a fun game at 3 o'clock Eastern. We're right on the air. That's when we wrap up.
We'll see though, if Edmonton can put points up like that. Yeah. That's my own, like, you know, you really do have sort of offense. Can Edmonton keep up at a track meet with Toronto? That's sort of my deal there. And then you got Bethel Thompson coming back. And Is Bethel Thompson great? No, but he is an upgrade. At least he knows the offense. He's, you know, he's a veteran. And the Alouettes are a lot healthier than they have been. It's a lot of points. You know, I could, Saskatchewan probably win, but it is a lot of points. Okay, Ian Cameron, Babano. Babano's got an appointment he's got to get to. He took offense to the fact that I said he never leaves his house unless the.
Oh, yeah, that's right. So now he's making fake doctor's appointments to get out of his place.
Fake meetings.
That's right. I got an important meeting, Gabe, at the bar.
Fake medical issues.
Yeah. Go have a cold one, Babano. Happy hour.
All right. Well, hockey season's around the corner as well, guys. Yep. As you start to see the Connor McDavid contract talks, and will Sidney Crosby finish his career with the Pittsburgh Penguins? See, NHL hockey is actually around the corner, and WNBA playoffs this weekend too, guys. So great time of the year to be a sports fan and a sports bettor. Thanks, Babano. We'll catch up with you next week.
We'll talk next week.
And Cam, we'll see you tonight. We'll see you actually on TV on Sports Grid. You got some Euro golf going on, so we'll get some golf picks from Cam. Have you come up with your pick yet? Actually, what do you got for that?
Yeah, I'll be quick, Gabe. In the Euro tournament, congratulations, by the way, for your Rory McIlroy pick. It doesn't matter if it's only 5-1, it's a winner. We're going to two tournaments. The PGA Tours, Gabe says, these guys never sleep. Pro Core Championship, Ben Griffin, 25-1. Amateur from Auburn, Jackson Koivunen. You're not going to get 60-1 when he wins a tournament. He's top 10 machine. And Luke Clanton, Gabe, I'm going dig it at 100-1. BMW, you give me Ty Hatton at 22-1, I'll bite. And Alex Noren at 45-1. Only 5 picks for 2 tournaments.
It really is amazing how, like, you had the FedEx Cup and everybody thinks that the golf season is over, but
it's never over.
You've got top guys playing in this tournament. The BMW PGA Championship, Rory McIlroy plus 625 is the favorite. John Rahm plus 800. Tommy Fleetwood coming off the FedEx Cup win, Cam. He's 10-1. To me, you know what? Listen, I just sort of threw Rory, you know, I was like, it's the Irish Open. I know he wants, and I know he won before.
Well, you know what? That's good capping. Everyone's just breaking it down. I want a guy.
Yeah, everyone overthinks it. And I knew. I was like, no, he's won this before. And I even said last week, I said, no, he likes to win this. He wants to win this.
Of course he does. He has pride in Ireland, right? Like, yeah. And I'd be careful with this tournament too. Ty Hatton at 22, Gabe, the guy loves the BMW tournaments. Like, he does well in the Saudi one.
I know he does. Yeah, he's a good DP player.
Good price.
I'm taking Tommy Fleetwood, Cam. Tommy Fleetwood wins all the time on Europe, and he doesn't win here, but I'm getting 10-1. That's good enough for me to get in on him.
I will tell you something. Tommy Fleetwood will be on all my betting card. I just wish, Gabe, in this talented field, we got about 16, but that's life. The books aren't stupid. I might have a sprinkle as well.
They're all there. Victor Hovland is 19-1. Hatton all is 20-1. Aaron Rye is 22-1. Neiman is 22-1. Matt Fitzpatrick is 22-1. Shane Lowry, 24-1. Robert McIntyre, 27-1. As you see, there's a lot of European players playing, but it's not exclusive European players. Corey Connors, the Canadian, is playing. He's 35-1. Harry Hall, 45-1. Justin Rose. This actually, like, basically,
it's almost a major.
Yeah, it has the look of a major with the exception of Scottie Scheffler and Xander, a couple of American guys like Morikawa, Scheffler, Xander.
And Gabe, take a look at this too. They're playing this Pro Core tournament because remember, the Ryder Cup's coming up. Scottie Scheffler would never play in a low-grade tournament like this. He's 2-1. Like, I'm just saying, like, that's what people don't understand. Like, this golf before the Ryder Cup, it's tune-up central. So he's
probably
he's
should be. These Euro guys are going to be ready for the Euro Cup. They're playing golf all the way through this.
Correct. That's why the Americans have to step up. They're playing. All the big Americans never, ever play in the Pro Car Silverado. But now they are because they understand all the Europeans are taking it seriously at the BMW.
So my pick will be Tommy Fleetwood to win this. 10-1, Tommy Fleetwood. Listen, you know, is Rory really going to go back-to-back? I don't think so.
No.
You know, Rahm would like to win, but, you know, I don't know. 8-1. Like I said, my dart toss will be Tommy Fleetwood at 10-1, and they do have top 10 and top 20 markets on this too, guys. Don't forget, so you can get in on this. In fact, you know what? I'll play my boy Corey Connors, top 20 plus 125.
Corey, it's a great bet. A lot of people like Corey Connors, top 5, top 10, so top 20 he'll be on my card.
All right, Cam. So we'll see Cam on TV. Make sure to subscribe to the podcast and get updated when it gets dropped on whatever platform you listen to. to the podcast on. We'll see you on the grid. Other than that, you're on your own. Later.